From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that while Hudson struggles funding its youth activities, some local residents have formed a nonprofit group to donate to the cause. The Common Council voted June 19th to allow the Friends of Hudson Youth to donate to the Hudson Youth Department through the end of the year. Peter Frank, chairman of Friends of the Hudson Board, said, and I quote, "Its facilities need help, and its budget and staff are stretched thin. Our role is to raise support from people who care about the kids and provide additional recreational and educational activities that can bolster the work of the department," end quote. Money raised will go towards programs, Oakdale Day Camp, including half-day canoe trips to Stockport Creek and Ramshorn Livingston Sanctuary, sea net fishing in the Hudson River, a nature scavenger hunt at Mud Creek, and workshops in trail maintenance, wetland exploration, and pond ecology at Oakland Lake's 14-acre site. The Common Council will hold a special meeting at 6 p.m. June 27th about the $50,000 budget amendment for the youth department. Friends of Hudson Youth and a similar organization, Friends of Oakdale Lake, are hosting a community picnic from 3 to 6 p.m. August 9th at Oakdale Lake. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Jimmy Vilken reports for Politico that despite past disagreements, the Civil Service Employees Association is backing Andrew Cuomo for re-election as governor. In 2014, CSEA President Danny Donahue called Cuomo a, and I quote, moron, end quote, and a, and I quote, monkey, end quote, after 3 years without wage increases, a reduction in pension benefits for newly hired public workers, and other anti-union actions. Donahue said on June 25th, and I quote, "That was then, and now is now," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "We recognize that we have to earn the governor's support and respect, and he has to earn ours," end quote. Last year, CESA approved a 10% wage hike over 5 years. Donahue said, and I quote, "I think it also has something to do with the gentleman in the White House who's the enemy of just about everybody," end quote. "I think the governor recognizes to have government agencies that are under attack is a bad thing. The governor realized the people who do the work every day deserve some credit, and the state that was built by organized labor can't just let it go down the tubes," end quote. And you can read that full story at Politico. Chris McKenna reports at the Fray that a right-wing advocacy group, Reclaim New York, is not involved in Ulster County politics. WNYC reported in February that the group is funded by hedge fund billionaire Robert Mercer and his family, who also financed the Breitbart news site and used information from the data firm Cambridge Analytica, the company embroiled in controversy with the 2016 presidential campaign. Last week in Ulster County, Reclaim New York hosted an event promoting 12-year term limits in the county. And I quote, "For discussion on why the term limits bill should be passed and how you can help ensure it is approved," end quote. Ulster County Executive Mike Hines slammed the advocacy group Reclaim New York this week after he held a dinner with a county legislator to promote his proposal to impose term limits on Ulster's elected officials. Ulster County Executive Mike Hines said in a statement, and I quote, "It is deeply disturbing to learn that the Mercer family, funders of far-right fringe outlets including Breitbart News and the likes of Steve Bannon, is being welcomed into Ulster County by legislator Joe Maloney to host a dinner event. These are the very same people who fund and promote hate and divisiveness by supporting anti-Semitism, misogyny, racism, and homophobia," end quote. Brandon Muir, Reclaim New York's executive director, disagreed, saying, and I quote, "The county executive is doing a disservice to Ulster County residents by prioritizing political agendas, hateful lies, and conspiracy theories over facts," end quote. And you can read that full story in The Fray. Eve Montgomery reports at WRGB, Representative John R. Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, thinks lawmakers in Washington can pass an immigration bill by July the 4th. Faso said, and I quote, "I'm hopeful we can move this through the House so we can get action in the Senate. Kicking the can down the road is what happens in Washington, and that's not what I want to do," end quote. Faso may not be alone in his assessment that Congress will act before it leaves town for vacation June 28th. Almost 3,000 children have been separated from their parents, and congressional observers do not believe this Congress can get anything done on the issue. Last week, Faso voted against a hardline immigration bill that was defeated 231 to 193 with Democrats and 40 other Republicans voting against. A more moderate bill may be voted on this week in the House, but the Senate and the President will probably not rush into action on the issue. Democrat Congressman Paul Tonko, who represents all of Albany County and parts of Rensselaer County, said, and I quote, "After days of watching these children in anguish, living in just about cages, is such a black mark on our image as a nation," end quote. And you can read the full story at the WRGB website. You have been listening to the WGXC News Update. For weather report, town meetings, and more information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.